live from 50th and Capitol Avenue in the Big O. This is Mornings with Sharp and Hanley on 1620 The Zone, 1620thezone.com, and 1620 The Zone TV. Now here's Gary, Nick, and Jimmy.
I just got three things to say. God bless our troops. God bless America. And gentlemen, start your engine!
So we used to play that open all the time, the Kevin James.
Yeah.
Like right when we first started to play it, some people got like really upset. They're like, oh my gosh, I got to hear that every morning. And I'm like, doesn't that just get you going?
It's very popular. Yeah. So they do it before Creighton goes to bat, too, at the Chuck. They use that video.
So they stole it from our
show.
They
did steal it, yes.
There you go.
Okay.
Yes. Thanks for listening, guys.
So sometimes, but some, you know, like
morning, we
mix it up a little bit. I love the NBA playoffs. Last night you got the dramatic play by Jamal Murray once again to beat the Lakers. Earlier in the night, you got Porzingis got hurt. Boston wins. Then you have Oklahoma City, the young Oklahoma City Thunder, credit to Joel Lorenzi in his first year as the beat writer there, have won a playoff series. But what it means, I'm very, very, I'm kind of sad, and I'm dreading like the next go-around of the NBA playoffs, because I have come to a point where the first time in my remote control career, like when you have full control of the remote, like as a kid, you didn't.
Yeah.
And unless you lived in a bougie household and you had a remote control,
you usually had
to get up and change the channel.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But now that I have full control over what I like to call the gears, I have I've got a streak going, because last night marked the seventh straight day that when what a pro wants, what
oh,
a
God. Oh
yeah,
that's, oh,
that
okay.
commercial comes on.
I got you.
I am an automatic mute. And the fact that Chet and Shea won last night.
Got more.
That commercial will see no end. Please, please. And then to top it off, here's where I thought, uh-oh, this might be a bad day. I get in my car this morning and I'm scanning the dial.
Please tell me you heard that.
It's now on the radio.
Oh,
it had been just a TV commercial. Now it's on the radio.
Oh, that's great.
It's like Demolition Man.
It's good. It's on the radio now.
I think our definition of great's going to be a little bit different. But why can't we do this? What a fan wants, what a fan gets. We just need to retire that commercial. We've watched a lot of basketball from March and now into the NBA playoffs. That commercial's
got
to go.
I've got
Don't make us hate them like Durant did.
I got a good runner-up for that one. And this also started back with March Madness.
Caitlin Clark?
Nope.
Wingstop?
Yes.
Google Pixel?
The Wingstop.
Oh, I have a list of them.
They know better. They know better. Oh, my gosh.
Leave the Jenga thing alone and just eat.
The only, and I'm probably being a curmudgeon here. The only commercial that I really, really like that is like being repeated, and it's actually from previous years, is when you're watching the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs and the Walrus is on. The Geico Walrus.
Yeah. Oh, I love the Walrus.
That's a money commercial that
Duncan?
I am not muting.
Gosh, that's been a while,
Pacific
too.
Pacific Life Whale commercial. I'm here for that.
Last night during the
You're talking
Florida,
about the hockey Walrus,
yes,
right? Yeah.
During the Florida-Tampa Bay game, it was on a couple of times last night. And I'm like,
no sleepies, Dunky.
Thank you. my out is to watch the NHL playoffs so I don't have to see Chet and Shea.
There you go.
But they have snuck that in there.
Good, because...
And I'm like, that's great. I'm sure all the NHL people know who those two are, because most of the people in the NBA have no idea who those two are.
On the breakaway?
You mean the major market of Oklahoma City?
That one is good. Man, I'm glad that one is in rotation. That is fantastic, because I'm with you on what a pro wants. Yeah, I think I finally hit my breaky point with the Wingstop last night. I'm trying to think if there's a third
Caitlin Clark one has gotten old.
Yes.
I got to admit, so watching the Lakers game last night, I didn't see it as much as the Buffalo Wild Wings and the What a Pro Wants. I thought the What a Pro Wants one was going to be retired after March Madness. I didn't think that was going to carry over.
No.
Or at least they would.
I thought it would be just a tease during March Madness, and then when the NBA playoffs started,
that's what I thought too.
That crowd is more, well, Shea and Chet both played at big-time programs. If you follow basketball, you recognize them right away. I thought they would save it more for the NBA. That just runs over and over and over. And I'm not
America's going to root against the Thunder.
I'm not an AT&T customer. You suck.
Yeah.
You don't want to be now.
You are doing a disservice. Like, people get angry at your product.
You might have a,
like, Google Pixel. I will never own a Google Pixel phone, ever, because of that commercial.
Yeah.
I'm also a State Farm guy. And I'm like, Caitlin.
Okay, so I did go to State Farm. I am a State Farm customer.
Did you tell them that's why?
No.
You should have.
I told them it's because there's no longer a discount double check. I didn't say why. They didn't ask me why.
True. Rest in peace, BJ Raji. I mean, he's dead.
That's right. That was the best one. But
that generation's Gilbert Brown.
So, Gary, I'm with you. I think they can have the negative or the reverse effect where people are like, yeah, it might be overbearing or obnoxious, but it stays in your head. And you remember, yeah, it stays in my head to the point that I'm like, I know I will never go there or I will use that product because it annoys me so much. I respond negatively to that.
I wonder if those two have knew that song before they did the commercial.
Probably not.
No, nope.
It's not really a popular song. And then to have two guys that sing out of tune. It was funny like the first time, but then when it is aired every 4 minutes.
On each game going on.
Yeah.
In each commercial break. So commercial break, going to go to the next game. And all of a sudden, all right, and here comes the media timeout. We'll go back. We'll be back after this. And then it goes on again. You're like, it's like your own personal little hell.
That's it. I'm adopting Dallas next round.
It might be tough to beat that Oklahoma City team. They're kind of fun to watch.
Well, they're going to have a week off, which will help.
Yes, but
just to relax.
What happened last night, as you heard there in the open, so Denver beats the Lakers. Jamal Murray has sent more people home than Ron Washington.
Nice.
It's really a wild
that's
series.
Underrated.
The Lakers led every game at halftime, right?
Yes.
And they ended up losing 4 of 5.
Yeah.
Man, Denver owns the Lakers. I wonder if today the Buss family gives the Nuggets their franchise, because opening night the Nuggets beat them. The night they unveiled Kobe's statue, they beat them. Mm-hmm. When LeBron got to 40K, they beat them. And then they just ended their season for the second straight year. Stealing a line from Slapshot, Denver owns the Lakers. But Jamal Murray was clutch again last night. You know, the thing about the NBA playoffs, and I'm trying to bring you in.
I know, and I like this because I really got into that game in particular last night. I was watching Little Puck off and on.
How far do you guys think your popularity can go in the NBA if you are Mr. Clutch? Because Jamal Murray, not only in this series, has been Mr. Clutch for the Nuggets, but oh, by the way, he's also a really, really good player who, you know, averages 25 a game, and we go, huh?
But oh, my God,
my God, he hit a shot over AD, hits an elbow jumper last night.
And then the dunk over Bron!
Like, Robert Horry was a good player.
Oh, yeah.
Yes,
big shot,
true.
Bob.
Playoff guy, and they're like, is that Will Smith?
Seven rings.
But yes. But you always like, oh, that guy's clutch. Well, big shot Bob was a pretty good player. Yep. Jamal Murray's a pretty good player. Man, does he have the clutch genie.
Yeah, because the only time we ever talked about Horry was during the postseason.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, hell, I knew the NBA well enough to know that of like, we didn't really, this isn't really a regular season thing. Now, then there's the Jimmy Butler playoff Jimmy, but playoff Jimmy, regular season Jimmy is still very relevant. It's very, very relevant. It's not saying that Jamal Murray is not relevant during the regular season, but to your point about the playoff status,
Jamal Murray being able to hit that table
big game after big game in those moments, it probably heightens it a little bit too, because there's a lot more eyeballs on a first round series, more so than there normally would be when you're a 2 seed, because you're going up against LeBron. There's always going to be a following. So when you're doing those things, and you know, again, the dunk over Bron last night and being able to hit those shots, being able to do that off of a calf strain, which they didn't even know if he was going to play last night, too.
It starts
adding to the postseason legacy a little bit, too. Yeah, that becomes a must-watch thing. And then so that reputation continues to carry on. You draw more people in. Yeah, that does a lot for your legacy.
Jamal Murray is smooth like Nutella.
I like that.
Nice. I like Nutella.
Nobody uses it. They always say butter. Nutella, I think, is the new thing.
We should go buy
Nutella
some.
Is the 2024 butter.
I'm sure people that like Nutella also like the AT&T commercial.
Mm.
I'm hearing just a quick response in the Equitable Bank inbox. My kids like the AT&T commercial.
Of course they do.
Yeah, of course
they do. I don't even know who that person's kids are. I think it's geared for kids.
Yeah, kids liked Old Town Road a few years ago. Where's that song now?
That's a good point.
Any request? Old Town Road.
Let me think about that for a moment. Okay.
I gotta say, I haven't heard that song in a long time, and I'm very, very thankful for that.
Yeah, I'm not playing it.
No, I'm not. I'm not requesting it. I'm just saying.
I am the walrus? Maybe.
It was a thing. Nutella. It's delicious. Hot take. It's the new 2024 butter. Smooth like Nutella. Good actually, on you.
So we get our wish for those of us that like fun and matchups. We get Denver and Minnesota in nice. The next round.
I know, but was there a question going into last night? I mean, we knew we'd eventually.
Oh, going into last night, yeah, no. Yeah, but yeah. Before the playoffs began, you thought, wow, the T-Wolves can't beat the Suns. But now that we have it, and I don't know. I'm ready for people to start complaining because it's small market teams. We're not going to be able to enjoy this the semifinal series because it's Denver and Minneapolis.
We need L.A.
Oh, well.
Give me Phoenix.
We're about to find out the power of like Ant-Man and Jokic when you don't have. It's April 30th, and the NBA postseason is without LeBron, Steph Curry, and Kevin Durant.
Good.
So what will that? Well, for some, they say good. For the NBA, and I think the passing of the torch, so to speak, is going to be a little bit easier. But ratings matter, and the NBA ratings have kind of been neutral or just a shade above neutral.
Yeah.
Now you don't have three big names that the casual basketball fan would probably tune in to watch. So I hope they tune in to watch this series, and they watch Ant-Man, and they watch Murray, and they watch Jokic, and they watch some of the great young talent, even though they can't sing. Chet and Shea are two really good players with Giddy and the Williams and everybody else that's in Oklahoma City. But it'll be a test of like the future of the NBA without a big three that everybody knows. You don't need to be, you can be Nick and you know those three and you're probably going to watch them.
Somewhere David Stern's like, I could have fixed this.
Doesn't the NBA, because I'll always make this comparison if we're looking at the struggle, not the struggles, but the concern of having small market teams on big stage events, it comes down to how, as an organization, you promote that and push that. Can't we agree that the NBA does a pretty good job of pushing that despite people that are going to at least initially tell you, I don't want to watch that, like compared to Major League Baseball. When you get small market teams in there. Major League Baseball, I feel like is at least gotten a little bit better, but when it comes to promoting their entire organization, but then when you get to the postseason and you get into, say you get a Tampa in there, obviously, and you know the Florida market very well, it's not a bad market, but as far as a traditional team compared to, say, the Yankees, I still think Major League Baseball has ways to go when it comes to if you get into that situation. I think the NBA, this is where they continue to push their product, I think, in a positive way. So is it going to get the same type of numbers as you would in, say, a New York versus LA? No, but do you have the best opportunity to promote that to try to maximize whatever you can get? I think the NBA is in a position to do that.
Yes, remember, what were the ratings like for the NBA Finals last year?
They weren't good.
Denver, Miami?
No, they weren't good.
Still had Jokic, still had Butler.
Still not great.
So that's what...
And they'll be bad again this year. Yeah. But you know what? I'll love them.
Well, and if it's Denver-Boston, it's a great matchup.
It's a great matchup. With Minnesota-Boston.
I'm to the point, it seems like every sport is up in TV ratings. If it's a competitive game, the casual fan will hang around.
Yeah.
If it's a game you want to watch, you're going to watch no matter what. Okay, it's like going to a movie. L. Kent Wolgamott gives a movie a bad rating. I want to go to that movie. I love L. Kent, okay, despite some of the teams he roots for. But I'm still going to go to that movie.
Yeah.
It's like TV ratings guy is telling me, man, that show is terrible. It never gets any ratings. I kind of like it. I like some of the characters on there, some of the actors.
Yeah.
I'm gonna watch it. I think that's kind of like it is with sports. But where you get the extra is if the game is competitive. If the game is close, people are going
to
hang around. They're
going to
hang around and watch the game. You know, you look at when a game is a blowout, people like turn it off, go do something else.
That's what I did last night during the first game. So I'll come back in a little bit.
Well, and I go back to this too.
Thanks for your support of my Heat.
I know. I was, I know.
Well,
I tried.
What are your main...
Just get it over with, please. Thank you.
What are your mainstream media outlets covering round the clock too? From leading up to certain games to breaking down certain games. And this is where, and I understand the priority of it.
It's ESPN's LeBron, that's it.
But this is also where the NHL is always going to take a backseat because it's always going to be, it's going to be in the B block when it comes to Stanley Cup playoffs for the most part, unless there wasn't a lot going on in the NBA. So they're going to prioritize that too. So I think that also is going to help as far as, even if it's small markets or big markets, depending on the coverage that they're getting when it comes to Fox, ESPN, the major outlets that you're going to go to, when you're consuming sports, just from a television standpoint, if they're covering that round the clock and that's top of mind conversation for all of their different radio talk shows as well, you're going to get that a lot more than hockey.
Well, there's also more people on national forums that understand or played basketball than,
right.
than understand hockey.
Yeah, well, that's also and true, too. But no, it's true.
You don't...
Even in Major League Baseball.
99.6% of the national shows don't talk hockey until this time of the year.
Yes. And then, like, then we chime in as experts.
Yeah, and then the first thing you're supposed to say is, man, whoo, that playoff hockey, there's nothing like
it. Yep, you got to say it. You got to say it, and they're like, oh, yeah? So who do you like? I don't know. All I know is it's going to be amazing.
So tell me how you feel about Steve Stamkos playing his final game in a Lightning sweater. All right, welcome in, everybody.
Are the Blackhawks going for another one? Yeah, they haven't been
running
to the playoffs
on
in
a Tuesday.
9/5/16/20.
Tuesday. Let me give you the quick lineup for the show. We're going to kind of put a bow on spring football for Nebraska with our trio of guests. Sam McEwen, Brian Christopherson, and Andy Kendi will all join us. That's a lineup brought to you by the Rooferies at John Higgins WeatherGuard. Speaking of football, so last night, the first of two nights downtown, packed house. In Omaha, you guys know that? Zach Bryan is, in his formidable years of life, lived here in Omaha.
No.
Born in Oklahoma, but lived here in Omaha. So when he shows up on Saturday and he's got, you know, the crew and family, kind of hits him a little bit when he comes into the situation that we went through on Friday in this community, and he's
adds
out there
context.
Helping clean up. But he used to live here in Omaha, down in Bellevue.
Really?
So last night he does his first of two shows downtown. I mean, he's popular. He is so popular. But yet he doesn't show up like on the top 40 lists all the time. But man, like if you go to iTunes, like some of the most downloaded music is from Zach Bryan. And he's got some bangers out there. But he likes to perform. And he puts on a good show. And they had a packed house last night. He also had a special guest that joined him on stage.
Matt Rhule
was on stage last night at the Zach Bryan concert.
That's awesome.
It's no Mike Riley meeting Chance the Rapper.
which still goes down.
They
as one of the
set
best.
Up. So when Chance the Rapper was here in 15, they set up a meet and greet where Mike Riley would take, and they did it more for a photo op.
Yeah.
Because Chance the Rapper back then was extremely popular. I mean, he was a banger. And people are finally realizing, oh, this is the guy that I was handed his CD when I was walking across to New York and Vegas. And now Chance the Rapper has got a great story, and he's gone on to do other things. He's not necessarily putting out music, but he's producing. He's on
big
music
in the city
shows
of Chicago
and stuff.
Too.
But they did a photo op where they wanted Mike Riley and Chance the Rapper to take a picture. So they did take a picture. It was kind of awkward. And Mike Riley said, oh, that rapper guy, kind of a nice guy. Nice fella is what he said. So last night, Matt Rhule pops up on stage downtown. Matt Rhule should just move to Omaha. He loves the city of Omaha. His kids go to school here. His parents are going to move here. I mean, he recruits here. Why doesn't he just relocate here? Hell, why don't they just move the football stadium here?
Well, I'm very excited that his wife is opening something in Lincoln. They're putting roots down there, but why not maybe have another one here in Omaha?
He just bought some property here in Omaha.
Okay.
But last night he's downtown. He shows up on stage. I'm sure he's a big fan. That would seem like if you're thinking of Zach Bryan music, you're thinking, I could see Matt Rhule getting on board with that.
Much more so than Mike Riley and Chance.
Walks on stage with an 1890 hat on.
We said, when will Matt Rhule start donning that stuff?
Well,
we brought up after every time we get a chance to hear from him, it's right after practice or right after the spring game.
We had our listener Zach sent me a picture. His son was in downtown Lincoln a couple weeks ago and got a picture with Rhule, and he was wearing an 1890 hat. So he's on stage last night, belting out a tune with Zach Bryan. It was kind of like the place to be last night. John Cook bought his team a suite. So he took his whole team. You know, they finish up spring this week with their scrimmage out in Kearney. He took his whole team here to Omaha to the Zach Bryan concert last night, bought him a suite. They rocked out like the coaching staff was here. I mean, that was the place to be.
But you got another night of this tonight.
I know. And, I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on.
What the hell's
going
to happen tonight?
Across the parking lot is Creighton, Nebraska. Yep. You got Daryl Strawberry's in town. You got the Boys Town banquet that's going on. But So watching Rule, who I think just loves being here, okay? This is ideal for his, like, DNA.
Mm-hmm.
Is Matt Rule more Nebraskan than Scott Frost was as the head coach?
Yes.
And Matt Rule has only been here for, I don't know, what, 16, 17 months?
Yes. When it comes to visibility, when it comes to embracing a lot of different aspects of the nightlife entertainment scene, I get part of it from Scott Frost.
Nightlife entertainment scene. Which coach are you talking about again?
I did get some of it from Scott Frost just because the guy couldn't go anywhere without being recognized and you know what he was considered to be when he first arrived. So I can understand maybe being a little reluctant to be out as much as you see Matt Rule as far as being visible. But this was the thing that I always wondered. Is Matt Rule just doing this for the first year just to get familiar with everything and everyone?
Well, that's a smart play. I think that's fair to wonder that. Like, your first year to get your brand out there, just to kind of experience the culture.
It absolutely would be. It would be completely understandable. But at some point, you're wondering, okay, is he going to scale that back a little bit now that he's been seen a lot? People know that he truly does embrace the community and just the state in general, especially in Lincoln and Omaha. I don't see that changing anytime soon. I just think that's who he is now.
He went to Raw. I mean, he's everywhere. You might hop into Havelock and see him having a beer.
Well, he just doesn't seem like a guy that can necessarily around and just lock himself into a film cave and just do that all day. He just seems like someone that, you know, he's got that energy. He's got that energy. He wants to be out and about.
It's the most high-profile guy in the state, mm-hmm. even more than the governor, that the head football coach at the University of Nebraska off a 5-7 season mm-hmm. is not hiding. He's out. He's being a normal person.
He ain't hard to find.
Because it can, you know, you go in a grocery store, or you can't go in a grocery store because everyone is staring at you. He walks into a grocery store.
He stares back at him.
And he's a guy that,
again,
I think one of his better qualities is he disarms people. All of a sudden, he's starting a conversation. He's shaking hands. He's taking pictures. He's doing all of that kind of stuff. And it also helps. He came here, and there were no preconceived notions about him. There was nothing that people knew about him. So he can just be here, be transparent, not hide behind anything. And like, you know what? We're going to you've embraced us. We're going to fully embrace you. And last night was like another put on that on the little tote board of things he does that you go, whoa. And then what are people going to be talking about today? A morning show in Omaha is talking about the head football coach being at a concert where he sang. So he knows his music. People are talking about. And probably some videos and pictures are going to be shared. Zach Bryan is extremely popular. Who's the guy next to him? The most high-profile guy in the state of Nebraska, Matt Rule.
Here's the other part about Matt Rule that I think I've also come to learn in not even
cool.
2 full years in the job.
He likes his country music.
Is a cool factor with him. I think that, and again, this is very understandable. If you're a head coach, you're not used to the overall attention that the head coach gets in the state of Nebraska or any other college football landscape. If you're not from that and you don't understand that, it can be overwhelming. And I totally understand, especially when you have family, that a lot of that part of the job is new and it can be somewhat uncomfortable. But I always think that, and you hear every coach talk about that when they come in, about how great of an opportunity it is because of the fan base, because of the attention that people pay to the program and how that can be a benefit. But then when it comes down to it, typically when there's some struggles and a lot of those people are wanting to know how you're going to fix things, are highly critical of your program, that you do start to distance yourself away from everything about that part of the job and that part of the unique nature of places like Nebraska. I always felt, though, there would be, and this is why I always thought when people said, if Scott Frost can't do it, then who can? I always thought there was the outsider out there that had the type of personality that would look at that as a benefit, that attention as a benefit, but also be able to fully embrace it and kind of put their money where their mouth is, so to speak. I think Matt Rule just has that personality. I think he's quirky enough to not feel, oh gosh, I just want to get some milk at this grocery store. I got all these people coming up to me, to where I think he goes home. And I could be completely wrong. I think he goes home and just either says to himself or to his wife or his children, that's pretty cool. Yeah, I've just met so-and-so and these two people. And I think actually enjoys that interaction with people. Yeah. I just think he likes interacting with people. And I think there are probably times in every situation that it might be a lot of people. It's like, okay, I need to get over here. But I think in those instances where you're trying to put up an act, I don't think it's an act. I just think he naturally enjoys being out and interacting.
Well, I think he's just a normal person. I think that's the key takeaway here. He's just a guy that likes to be normal.
Listener Matt.
Okay. Yeah. He has a job that's different from you and I.
Yeah. So that's not, to me, that's not normal.
I like music. I like, I like to, why wouldn't I go to a concert? Why wouldn't I reward my staff?
Yeah.
We worked hard. Let's go up to a concert. And then you know what? They want to have me on stage? Hell yes, I'll be on stage. Because you always got to be crooting.
That's right.
Okay. You always have to be crooting. Who says that Dawson Merritt is not a Zach Bryan fan?
That's right.
He sees his maybe future head football coach on the stage. He's like, dang.
Tony White taking
notes.
That's
pretty
like,
cool.
Now, Rule's got about a year that he can do all this, and then they push him aside, and then it's Dylan Raiola. One other thing that Zach Bryan mentioned last night, because of his connection to the area.
Dylan Raiola?
No, he did not.
Okay.
He mentioned that when he was 20 years old, he used to go to the Blue Jay.
now, so his cred goes up.
Another reason to go, my man.
Yep, his cred goes up.
My man. One of the greatest, most canceled dive bars in the history of dive bars.
The first time the first time we ever had to do community tracing with COVID. Remember, it went from a Walmart to the Blue Jay to the basketball game. And so you had to wonder, was anybody at the Blue Jay when that person was there? Do we might have COVID? So, I mean, it's been there in the best of times and the worst of times.
Sounds like my kind of place.
I did see this summer, just random in the grocery store, the shirt that got the Blue Jay into water.
The B and the B and the J.
And it was probably, I would say, mid-30s, your old person that was wearing it. So what, the Blue Jay, well, they shut it down about 12, 13 years ago?
Was it that long?
No, wait a minute. Was it 17? How long did the, let me look this up.
I would ask you guys.
What? I thought.
I've heard of it.
I thought it made it. I thought it made it to COVID.
Then again, maybe I had.
Yeah, 17.
Oh, it was 17. Wow, I thought it made it to COVID.
Oh, wait a minute. Yep, it closed on August 3rd, 2017. Jimmy, this was the kind of place that, one, you kind of feared for your life. You probably lost a lot of money there.
Sounds like home.
You lost a lot of dignity.
Definitely.
You tried to find a freshman that was going to Creighton. And if you were a guy, you paid a dollar more for a drink than a girl did.
Yeah.
And your drink was made worse.
Yeah.
And basically was watered down while the girl's drink was like loaded up.
Yeah, it was something out of the green onion.
It was one of the special qualities of the Blue Jay. But everybody,
it's where I saw Kyle Korver up close and personal.
Everybody
once.
That went to Creighton, I mean, you were underage. That was the place to go. Isn't that interesting?
We don't care.
It was your Hawk.
Yes, okay. from what I understand from the Hawk in Lawrence, yes.
Okay.
I've never been to the Hawk, but I've heard stories about the Hawk.
Been since the first Bush administration.
What was Lincoln's?
I was there. I was there on the Saturday after the UConn game.
Oh, were you?
That's different, though. That's a game night. That's okay.
Did you go to the Wheel?
I went to them all.
All right.
He got the true experience.
Well,
good for you.
My tour guide, of course.
I was going to say, your tour guide
she spent
knows.
A lot of time in those places when she was at KU.
If you know type thing.
Mm-hmm. Sounds
like
a good
person. What would Lincoln's equivalent to the Blue Jay be?
Well.
Or to the Hawk.
See, the thing about Lincoln when I was going to school, they were a little bit more strict on underage drinking. So it was not as easy, like the Blue Jay. I mean, if you were 16,
that was
between classes at Central, you might have had a shot to go get a little cocktail.
That was like in Dazed and Confused how he IDs him. He goes, "You're 18, right?"
Of course.
He goes, "Yep, just graduated." Yeah, that's all I had to say.
Here's a little more.
You basically
just
had to confirm. If he asked you the question, you're 21, right?
Yep. Yeah.
All right, cool. Come on in.
What country do you think this is? I'm 64.
Well, I mean, Zach Bryan, run for mayor in this town. You went and helped with our tornado relief.
Yeah.
You brought the
football coach up on stage. You talked about going to the Blue Jay.
Well, see, do we know? I know he was helping out over the weekend. Do we know if he popped in for the spring game? We just didn't know.
Or Mayor Josh Ottson with Deputy Mayor Zach Bryan.
I guess. So Mikey says he was at Stella's.
All right.
Had a big gathering at Stella's.
I'd like to know what he thought.
All right. Maybe he can't run for mayor.
I like Stella's.
All right. 38 past the hour. You can join the conversation at any point this morning. We will discuss some Nebraska football as the portal giveth and the portal sometimes taketh away. on the 42 Degree The Source by your mom's house hotline to connect with the show, 402-951-1620, or in the Equitable Bank inbox where Doug and the fantastic crew, they take banking personally, professionally, and all the time. They take banking with them and to you. Gary at 1620thezone.com.
Wait a minute. They take it to you?
Yeah, if you can't come
is it
to
like,
them.
Is it like DoorDash but a bank version?
They're a mobile bank.
Yeah. Takes
may,
the ball, drives
they may
the
not
the
know
ball.
That, but I've just turned them into a mobile bank.
Handley at 1620thezone.com.
Or on the JTech Construction Zone Twitter feed, official sponsor of Nebraska Athletics, by the way, and 1620 The Zone, at Gary Sharp 1620.
Nick Handley, 1620.
All right, Sam McEwen's coming up in about 45 minutes. His thoughts on where Nebraska goes, what they do during the summer, maybe what they do in the next couple of days out of the portal. And Chief Borders went in. Is it a surprise? I don't necessarily think so. We'll get into that when we come back. It's Mornings with Sharp and Handley and Jimmy on 1620 The Zone.